Okay, today's daf is Erev and daf Chaf. We are at the very top of Chaf Amud Aleph. We are in the middle of all the questions that Abaye asked Rabba. So, Ba mine Abaye me Rabba. Chatzer sherosha nichnas leben hapasin. Ma'ul atatel mitocha leben hapasin. Meben hapasin letocha. So, what if you have the following case? We have the well with the four L-shaped boards around it, and then the wall of a chatzer juts out in between two L-shaped boards. Can you carry from in the chatzer to in the Rishut Yachid created around the well? Amar Lemoter, said it's allowed. Shtaim Mai, what if you had two chatzerot, two adjacent chatzerot that were opened to each other and then also opened individually to the well area? Could you carry from them into the well area? Amar Le, Aser. Amar Rav Huna, now why would it be Aser? Amar Rav Huna, Shtai Masurin, Vafilu Ervu, Gzera Shem Yomru, Erv Moel Venapasin. Right, so Rav Huna explains that if you have two Chatzerot that open up into the well-shaped area, it would be Aser, even if there was an Erv between those two, because there is no, because if the two chatzerot open up individually to the well-shaped area, then those passing by don't see that the chatzerot also have an eruv to each other, because there is an access point between the two chatzerot, but all you see is the well-shaped area and their individual openings to the well area. You would think that well area, the fact that both chatzerot open up to the well, then constitutes as a proper eruv between the two chatzerot themselves. You wouldn't realize that there is another chatzer, there is another eruv between an access point between both chatzerot, so that people wouldn't make that mistake. We said it's usher to carry into the well. Rava Amar, ervu mutter. If there is an eruv between those two chatzerot, it would be mutter. Amar le'abai le'rava chatzer shirosh echad nichnas levein hapasim mutar letaltel mitocha levein hapasim uben hapasim letocha aval shtaim aser v'medvim amurim shelo ervu aval ervu mutarin. So a braita that Abaye said to Rava that there is a braita that supports his shita, because the braita says explicitly that you're allowed to carry a chatzer that its head goes into the well-shaped area, right? You're allowed to carry from it into the well and from the well into it. However, two chatzerot would be usser unless, or rather the case we said that two was usser was when there was no eruv, but if there is an eruv, then it would be okay. Limit to the Rav Huna. Well, then maybe we could have maybe that serves the refutation for Rav Huna, who believes that two would be aser. Here we have a first brayta that says two is mutter if there's an eruv. Amar Rav Huna hadam dehadran va'arvan. No, that's talking about a case. Remember, our whole concern was that people passing by only see that the two chatzerot have distinct access points into the well area, and they don't realize that there's another access point further back that they created the eruv around the two chatzerot. And you'd think because they both open up to the well, it would be fine. So the case where the bride said it was mutter if there's an eruv is when they made an additional access point beyond beyond the partition between the two chatzerot, such that anyone passing by sees one access point from both chatzerot leading into the well, and then beyond that access point you have the partition wall, and then you have the original access point between the two chatzerot. But it doesn't appear that there's two distinct access points from the individual chatzerot to the well. Rather, it looks like they access from the same place, and so it's clear that they require an additional eruv in order to carry from it and into the well. Bamine Abaye Rabba. Okay, the last question that Rabba asked Abaye. Yavshu Mayim Shabbat Mahu. What if the water in the well dried up on Shabbat? Can you still carry in there? Amar le, klum na'asit mechitza ela bishvil mayim. Mayim enkan, mechitza enkan. The mechitza was only erected for the sake of the water. Once you no longer have any water, you no longer have a mechitza. Ba'i ravin, yevshu mayim shabbat v'av b'shabbat mau. What if the water dried up on Shabbat and then it returned on Shabbat? Amar le ba'i yevshu b'shabbat loti ba'i loch. De ba'i mine demar upashit le da'asir. Right? So he said the original question of water that dried up on Shabbat, that's not a question, because I asked Rabba, and he told me that it was Aser. Ba'u nami loti ba'ilach, dehavalei mechitza asuya b'Shabbat. Right? And the latter question of what if it came back, That's also not a question. I mean, it's obvious because a mechitza that was created on Shabbat, because it's considered a mechitza that's created on Shabbat. Meaning, if the mechitza didn't exist the moment, meaning if it wasn't a mechitza when there was no water, because it was only a mechitza for the water, then if there is water, now it's a mechitza again, and that is the status of mechitza that was made on Shabbat. V'tanya, believe the brayta, kol mechitzot ha'asuya, kol mechitza ha'asuya b'Shabbat, ben b'shogeg, ben b'mezid, ben b'ones, ben b'ratzon, shema mechitza. Any mechitza that was made on Shabbat, whether it was made intentionally, unintentionally, involuntarily, or voluntarily, that is considered a mechitza, in which case it's a valid mechitza, and you're allowed to have access. You're allowed to access the water. V'lav itmar Allah, Amar Rav Nachman lo shanu ela lizrok avala taltel lo. But wasn't it taught that if there's a mechitza that was created on Shabbat, that you would be allowed to throw into such an area, but carrying into an area, you're still not, right? That if it was created on Shabbat, you're only allowed to throw in there, but not carry into there. Ki itmar de Rav Nachman, amazid itmar. Yeah, that statement was, when it was created, bemazid, we had an additional takana that you couldn't carry into there, right? So an additional gzera that you couldn't carry into there because you created the mechitza bemazid. However, if it wasn't created b'mezid, like in our case, where the wall just came to be the moment the water came back, then there's no requirement for that additional gzera, and it's going to be mother. Amar Rabbi, even to carry into it. Amar Rabbi Eliezer, hazorik levena pasi, leben pasi habiraot, chayav. Someone who throws into the area between the boards is going to be chayav, right? Because he threw from a rabbi through shudiyachim. Pshita, isn't that obvious? That's transferring. What's the difference here? Ilav mechitzahi heichemishter leilimalav. Right? If you don't want to say it's a proper partition, such that it wouldn't be a proper rishut yachid, then why would you be able to fill up water in it? Lo tzricha da avid kein pasei birot b'shut rabim v'zarak tocha chay. No, what we're trying to teach is that even if there's no well there, you just kind of made that structure of the four L-shaped beams in a random rishut rabim with no well, and you threw into there. That even still is going to be chayef. Hanami pshita. That's also obvious. Because if it's not a mechitza, if you don't think it's generally considered a mechitza, like if you just put it up in the shudder rabim, then how would it serve to permit the well that you're trying to access? Lo tzricha afal gav deka baki ba rabim. No, what we're trying to teach is that it's still a mechitza, even if the masses commonly passed through this area, that the masses passing through doesn't nullify from its status as a Rishut or Yachid. Umay kamash malan, what did he come to teach you? Delo atu rabim vatl mechitzata. Right? That the rabim can't come through and just cancel out your partition. Ha ama Rabbi Elazar chara zimna. Rabbi Elazar needed to teach us that in this statement of Azarok levena pasei abirot chayef. He already said that one to us once. We already knew that from him. Nitnan, we learned in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, I maita derech Rishut or Rabim, maf saktan yisalkena litzdadin. The chachamim umrim enu tzarich. Right. So if there was a pathway that the rabbim go through cuts through boards, you should really divert the pathway to around the boards. And the chachamim say you don't need to divert the pathway because it's still going to be considered a reshut yachid. Right, so that was the machloket. Then where does Rabbi Eliezer come in? Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Eliezer, the Amri Tarvayos, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar, sorry, both said, "Kan odiyecha kochan shel mechitzot." Here, the Chachamim taught you just the significance of mechitzot, that even if you have rabim pass through it, it doesn't cancel out its status as a reshut yachid. We saw things that even if they were considered a reshut yachid and you had the rabim pass through, it would no longer be considered a reshut yachid. So now we're saying, look how chazak, look how powerful these mechitzot are. Then even if the rabim are passing through, it still doesn't cancel out the reshut yachid. Imehatam hava amina kan velo svirale. Right. So how do we answer now that why Rabbi Elazar needs to make both statements? Because if he just would have made that statement as a commentary on the Chachamim, you would have said that he's just commenting, the Chachamim really believe these mechitzot are powerful, right? But not that I hold like them, but that the mechitzot are so strong, the Chachamim believe that they even prevent the Rabim from turning it into a Rishut Rabim. However, you may not have known that Rabbi Elazar also holds that way, so he taught explicitly to tell us that he also holds this way. Okay, well then, you know, if he needed to teach this, if he needed to teach the latter one to tell you that he holds that way, why did he teach the former one, right? Why does he need to make such a comment on the Chachamim's Shita? Chada miklal chaver te itmar. No, actually, here's what really happened. They were not both uttered by him. Rather, one statement was inferred from his other shita. Namely, he made the statement of the Rabbi Elazar Amar Hazorik Levena Pasiv Chayav. Right. So he made that statement, and then that which And then that which it was said about the Chachamim, that was his students basically inferring his Shita. His students were commenting on the Chachamim based on what Rabbi Elazar had said previously, right? So it wasn't Rabbi Elazar saying both statements, rather his students inferred from one of his statements and then commented on the Chachamim in a different place. Mutar lakli zaber, right? So returning to the Mishnah, you're allowed to bring the partitions closer to the well. Tanan hatam lo yamor adam brishud rabim v'yishde brishud yachid brishud yachid v'yishde brishud rabim elim ken machnes or shavubo lo makom shushote. So we taught in a mission over there that a person cannot stand in a public domain and drink something in a private domain or vice versa unless he brings most of his body and the his head and most of his body into the reshut that he's drinking in the chen begat, and similarly we apply to a wine press. Gabe Adam ha'amar debay rosh v'rubo. Gabe para mi ba'in la rosh v'rubo olo. Okay, so we know that regarding a person, you need to have your head and most of your body in that domain. But do we say the same applies when it comes to an animal like a cow? Kiechi dekan nakit mana velo nakit la. Now let's qualify our question a little bit. We're talking about a case where you're holding the water vessel that you're feeding to it. However, you're not holding the cow itself. Lo tibay lach tibay rosho veruba milga. Right? That in such a case, there's no question that you need most of the cow, its head and most of the cow inside the domain. Right? Ki tibay lach echid denaki mana venaki lo. My, right? The question is, when you're holding the cow and you're holding its head, then what do you need? See, the first one isn't a question, because the whole concern is that if the cow moves its head outside of, if the cow moves its head outside of the Rishut Yachid, right, we're concerned that you're going to stretch your arm out into the Rishut Rabim and then feed the cow, right? So if you're holding onto its neck, right, then it's not as necessary. So it needs to be mostly its head and most of it in the Rishut Yachid while you're feeding it and not carrying its head, because we're worried it's going to be moving around its head and you're going to be moving around the jug and you may come to give it water in the Rishut HaRabim. However, what if you're holding on to its head and you're holding on to the jug of water? Is it necessary that the cow has to be majority in the Rishut Yachid? Right? Amar le tanitua. So he said to him, really, you can answer this from the Mishnah. Bilvad sheteha para rosha v'ruba b'mifnim v'shote. Because the Mishnah says as long as the cow is standing its head and most of its body in that area and is drinking. My love, the naki love, and naki mana. Now, is our Mishnah not referring to a case of where you're holding the cow and you're holding the vessel and still it needs to be rosha v'ruba? No. Who says that's the case? The naki mana v'lo naki la. Our Mishnah is talking about a case where you're holding the jug of water and you're not holding the cow, and that's why it requires to be most of it in the Rishut Yachid. V'chi naki mana v'lo naki la mishari. Really? That's a case where you're holding the jug and you're not holding the cow? But who permits such a case at all? Who permits you to do such a thing where you're holding a cow and you're holding the jug? You're not allowed to fill up a jug and give it before your animal and put it before your animal. However, you're allowed to fill up a jug and then pour it into a trough where the cow is going to be drinking from it and let the cow drink itself. But you're not allowed to feed the cow itself. You're not allowed to pour water into the cow's mouth. I mean, if you're holding the cow, then it's different. However, in a case where you're not holding the cow, right, and you're only holding the jug, that's usher to do. You have to, if you're not holding the cow, you have to put it down before the cow and let the cow drink. In which case, to qualify our Mishnah by saying that where it requires rosh v'rubo is a case where you're holding the jug and not holding the cow, who would allow you to hold the jug and not hold the cow at all in any situation? Ha itmar Allah. So the but let's qualify that breita, meaning we just taught in a breita that you're not allowed to hold the jug and not hold the cow and feed the cow, but we have to qualify that breita because it's not so clear what it's talking about. So let me define it. Let me tell you. Amar Abaye hacha be'evu sa'om v'rushut rabim gavoa asara tvachim v'rochav arba. We're talking about a trough that is in a public domain. However, the trough itself is 10 tefachim high and 4 amot wide, in which case it's a domain unto itself, and so it's not in the Rishut HaRabim. The rosho echad nichnas l'ben ha'pasim. And one of its heads, or one of the ends of it, enters into the boarded off area such that it's it should be considered a such that you're allowed to pour water directly into it, right? So and when we said that you're not allowed to feed the cow, you just have to pour water directly into it. This is the case that we're talking about. Gzera dilma chazi le leevus de mikalkel ve'ati letaknua ve'dara le ledavla behade ve'kamavik mushu diachil ushtirapim. So we're concerned that while you're feeding the cow, you may notice that there's a problem with the trough, and you're going to go around to fix it while you're still holding the jug. That's why you're not allowed to hold the jug in such a case, because half of this trough is in the Rishut HaRabim, and half of it is in Rishut HaYachid, and you're feeding your cow in the Rishut HaYachid, but it's very likely that you may come out and still carrying the jug. So that is the distinct case where we say that you have to just put the water down and not feed it directly to your cow. But in not that case, you're allowed to feed your cow directly and not hold on to its neck, right? V'chi ha'gavna mi mechayev. Wait, really? That's the case we're talking about? We made this gzeira that you can't feed the cow directly. Rather, you have to pour the water out because we're concerned that you that while you're feeding the cow in the Rishut HaYachid, you may come to notice there's a problem in the Rishut HaRabim and then carry the jug into the Rishut HaRabim. We couldn't have made the gzeira for that case because that case is not a case where you'd be chayav anyway. Right? How so? V'ha'amar Rav Safra, Amar Rabbi Ami, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, ha'mafne chafatzav mizavit lazavit, v'nimla chalein lotzian patur. That if someone is just carrying his items from one corner of Rishut HaYachid to another corner of Rishut HaYachid, and then he just happens to continue walking and walks into the Rishut HaRabim, but when he picked them up, he didn't pick them up to transfer them into the Rishut HaRabim, rather only to transfer them into the Rishut HaYachid, he's patur, because he didn't have intention to, he didn't pick it up in the Rishut HaYachid in order to put it down in the Rishut HaRabim. Shelo haita akira mishar rishona lakach, right? Because the initial lifting up was not for this purpose. In which case, and that would be similar to the person who's carrying the water vessel to feed his cow, fully intending on staying in the Rishut HaYachid, he ends up leaving, but still, that's not why he picked it up, so he's not going to be chayav. Still, it's aser. But we're going to make a gzeira around that. We're going to make a gzeira around doing something that would be aser derabanan. It's not aser deraita, so we wouldn't have made that gzeira. Ela zimni dimitakin le v'hadar ma'ayle v'kamayel m'rishut HaRabim l'rishut HaYachid. No, we're concerned that he's going to fix the trough and then bring it back into the Rishut HaYachid. And then the picking it up would have been for the intention of bringing it back into the Rishut HaYachid, and it's a problem. So because that's what the Braita is talking about, the Braita is not talking about just normally feeding a cow or giving water to a cow while you're not holding onto its neck. So that's a very specific Braita talking about a very specific case. In general, you're allowed to give a cow water while not holding onto its neck. That is mutter. In which case, our Mishnah could very well be talking about that when it says that Rosh Ovarubo is in the Rosh HaYachid, but you're not holding onto its neck, right? Because that is permissible. Our Mishnah could be talking about that case where you're not holding onto its neck, and then we could see that Rosh Ovarubo is required, Davka, maybe when you're not holding onto the neck, but still, that's not a raya from our Mishnah, that Rosh Ovarubo is required even if you are holding onto its neck. Ika da Amri. Now, that debate, which didn't end in, you know, conclusive proof, we still don't know for sure whether or not Rosh Ovarubo is required while it's holding onto the neck. We just tried to prove one way. We tried to prove from our Mishnah that it must be required because our Mishnah is talking about when it's holding onto the neck. And then we said, no, our Mishnah is not talking about when it's holding onto the neck. And then we said, but this Braita says that what you think our Mishnah is talking about is usser. And then we said, no, that Braita was talking about something else. In which case, it could have been what our Mishnah was talking about. And so, there is no conclusive proof of whether or not Rosh Ovarubo is still required when you're holding onto the cow's neck. Now, it was a completely alternate version of everything I just said where they basically go at the machloket in the total reverse, where instead of using the Mishnah to try to prove that we're talking about when you hold on to its neck and when you hold on to the water jug and it still requires Rosh Ovarubo, now we're going to say that our Mishnah was trying to prove the opposite point, right? That our Mishnah, when it requires Rosh Ovarubo, was even when you're not holding on to its neck, it's required Rosh Ovarubo, right? Trying to make the exact opposite point, right? And then we're going to challenge that assumption from the Mishnah and go through all the sources we just went through, but trying to prove the exact opposite point. And since the previous one ended inconclusively, spoilers, this is going to end inconclusively, where we're going to see that either pshat could be in the Mishnah, and we don't have a braita to reject it. So let's go through that. Ika da Amri, so those say, Hakam Rinan, right? That, Ikeda Amri, There are those who say it's like this. Gabe Adam Hakamrinan. With regard to a person, we've already said, Desagile Berosh Verubo, right? That he needs his head and most of his body. Gabe Para, Misagile Berosh Verubo, Olo. However, when it comes to a cow, does it require its head and most of its body in the Rosh Hashanah Yachid? I paused there because I think we're not asking, when we say sagi le barosha verubo, what we're saying is, we know by a person, it's sufficient that his head and most of his body be in the Rosh Hashanah Yachid, and we don't, the Chiddush is, we don't require all of him to be in the Rosh Hashanah Yachid. And now we're asking, by a cow, is it the same? Would it be okay if not the entire body of the cow was in the Rosh Hashanah Yachid, but Rosh Verubo? So that's what we're asking. Is that enough? Right? Well, in a case where you're holding the cow and the jug, then obviously that's enough that its head is in. Obviously, it's enough that its head and most of its body is there. My, rather, where the question should really be asked is when you're holding the jug of water, but you're not holding the cow. Then is Rosh Verubo enough? Amar le tanitua. So we can really see it from our Mishnah. Right? That you're allowed to feed the cow as long as its head and most of its body is in the Rosh Hashanah Yachid. Now, is that not talking about a case where you're holding the jug, but you're not holding the cow? In which case, you have an explicit answer from our Mishnah. Lo, no, it's not the case. Our Mishnah is talking about a case where you're holding where you're holding the mana, where you're holding the jug, and you're holding it, right? Our Mishnah is talking about a case where Rosh Verubo is required while you're holding the jug and you're holding the cow. But our Mishnah is not talking about a case where you're holding the jug and not the cow. V'hachinami mistabra. And by the way, seeing, understanding the Mishnah in that way, that you're holding the jug and the cow, is a very logical understanding of the Mishnah. Why? Or how do I know? The inaki mani, v'naki la. Because if we're talking about a case where you're holding the jug and you're not holding the cow, mishari. Well, who would permit such a case in the first place? Lo, v'hatanet demir lo nebreta lo yimla adam ma'im v'yitin lifnei behem mato avam amala v'shofech v'hishle me'aleah. Because didn't we learn that a person is not supposed to fill up a jug and feed it to the cow, rather pour it out and let the cow drink from itself, right? So clearly, if you're not holding on to the cow, you're really not supposed to be feeding it at all. So it's understandable, it's reasonable to assume that our Mishnah is talking about a case where you're holding on to the cow and to the jug. Ha'ith mar Allah. But no, you can't use that bright to support your understanding of the Mishnah, because that bright is not saying what you think it's saying. Amar Abaye, hachabe ebus ha'on, rishud ha'rabim, gavos ha'rtzvachim, v'rochav arba. Because that is talking about a case where you have a trough in a public domain that it itself constitutes an independent domain. However, one side is within those, comes into the boarded off area by the well. Right? And we're concerned that while you're feeding the cow, you're going to come to see that there's a problem with the trough, and you're going to go and fix the trough, and you're going to be carrying the pail. So that's a specific case the Brita was talking about, but it's not saying in all cases you can't feed the cow water while you hold on to the cow, if you're not holding on to the cow. Right? It's just a very specific bright, they're talking about a very specific case. It doesn't support your understanding of the Mishnah. V'chiyah gavna mimichayef. Well, why on earth would the bright be talking about that specific case? Because there's no reason to have a gzera there, because it's not chayef there, right? Even if you do that. V'amar Rav Zavra, Amar Rabbi Ami, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, right? Because in such a case, if you pick up your items and you move them from one corner of the Rosh Hashanah Yachid to another corner of the Rosh Hashanah Yachid, and then you decide to go and carry out into the Rosh Hashanah Rabim, you're still pater because that's not why you picked them up. So here too, it's not why you picked up the bale, so you wouldn't be chayev. And if you wouldn't be chayev, then we wouldn't make a gzeira around preventing you from doing it. So that's probably not the best understanding of the Braita, in which case your understanding of the Braita is wrong, and my understanding of the Braita is correct, and so it does support the Mishnah that you should only be feeding, that the Mishnah is talking about only giving water to a cow if you're holding on to its neck and holding on to the jug. Rather, no. We're talking about a case where we're concerned, it is exactly the case in the Braita that we spoke about, and we're concerned that you're going to carry the pail back in to the Lushut Yachid, and that is where you're going to be chayav, and that's why we made the Gzera, that's how you understand the Braita, and so that is the case that it's usher to give water to the cow when you're not holding on to the cow's neck. However, in a normal case, it's going to be mutter, in which case you can't use that braita to prove your understanding of the Mishnah. Still, we're inconclusive. We don't know whether or not, we don't know how to relate to Rosh Verubo of the cow giving it water We don't know if that's talking about Davko when you're holding on to it, or Lav Davko when you're holding on to it. Tashma, so let's come in here proof. Gamal Sharosha Baruba Mifnim Veha Gamal Sharosha Baruba Mifnim Ovsinoto Mifnim. Right? So a camel that his head and most of his body is inside, you're allowed to force feed it while it's inside. Veha Evus Kamandinaki Mana Venaki Ladamya. Now force feeding an animal is similar to holding the jug of water and holding the cow. Right, because if you force feed an animal, you're in control of both the animal and the food. So that's similar to holding onto the cow and holding onto the jug. V'kabayin and rosh v'ruba, right? And you require most of its head and most of its body. That seems to be a good raya that when we require its head and most of its body, it seems to be a good raya that if you're holding on to the animal and the food, you require the head and most of its body. Amar Rav Acha, Bar Rav Huna, Amar Rav Sheshet, Shani Gamal, Hoyel V'Tzavar Aruch. No, a camel's different. You can't bring me a raya from a camel to a cow, because camel's different. Camel has a very long neck, and so it's much more likely the camel's going to reach its head out into the Rishut HaRabim while standing in the Rishut HaYachid, and that's why we need it to be so far into the Rishut HaYachid to not be concerned with that. A cow is not going to move its... If a cow's head is in the Rishut HaYachid, we don't have to be so concerned that it's going to be moving it around. A camel's neck is long. It could be standing half in the Rishut HaYachid and reach its head into the Rishut HaRabim. We don't have to have the same concern by a cow. Tashma, okay, here another proof. Behema Sharosha Veruba Bibifnim, Ovsinota Bibifnim, Vahaibus Kimandinaki Mana Vinaki La. Right? When it comes to an animal that its head and most of its body is in the Rishut HaYachid, you can force feed it while it's in there. Now, force feeding or stuffing food in an animal's mouth is similar to holding the animal and holding the food, because you're in control of both. And still, what do we say? The kabayin and rosh v'rubo, and we require its head and most of its body to be in. Even though you're holding on to both the neck and the food, we need rosh v'rubo. It's not enough that just its head is going to be in there. My behema, nami tiktani gamal. What animal are we talking about here when we said in the Braita, an animal? We're talking about a camel, right? We're talking about a camel, and so you don't have a braya for other animals. We taught a camel, and here we taught behema, we were referring to a camel. Vatani behema, vatani gamal. But why do we need both braitas, right? We already taught camel, so this must be something different than a camel because it says behema. Mide gabi hadatitanya? That's not a good proof. These braitas weren't taught together. Meaning, if you wanted to say, a camel needs to do this, a behema needs to do this, fine, I would understand that behema is not camel. These are two different braitas taught by two different people, two different places. They don't have... You can't, like, throw them against each other and say because one's talking about a camel, the other one's not. He's not commenting on the camel one. Rather, one taught it as camel, and one taught it as behema, talking about a camel. Tanya Miyachi is similarly taught in a braita, Rabbi Lezer, Oser, Begamal, Hoyel, V'Tzavar Aruch. Right? And similarly, we can see explicitly that Rabbi Lezer was Davka, only Oser, only really require Rosh HaVerubo when it comes to a camel, because its neck is long. And that's the svara for being more machmir with a camel. Still, we have no raya that there's any reason to be machmir when it comes to a cow to require most of it and its head to be in the Rishut HaYachid when you're holding on to its neck. We'll stop here.